Okay, let's come to God's word. Last week we looked at Luke chapter 1. We were going through the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus, how all that came about. Okay, and today we're going to jump into Luke chapter 2. You know, what happens very often is that we read these verses and they're so familiar that we just skip through them, and because we've read them so many times, the story of the birth of Jesus, and we've learned them in Sunday school and so forth. But this morning, let's look at them and say, God, what do you want to speak to me through these familiar verses? Okay, so let's turn to Luke chapter 2 and read from verse 1. Well, it's verse 1 to 21. That's a long, long passage, but we'll go through it very quickly. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Familiar verses. Go on to verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning as we dwell on the Christmas events as recorded in your scripture. Lord, would you anoint me as I preach your word? Would you open our eyes, our ears, and our spirits that we would receive your life-giving word and our lives would be changed and transformed? Be with us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 1 says, in those days. You know, what exactly does it mean by in those days? What days is it talking about? Well, he's talking about the days when, after 400 years of silence, where there was no communication from God to his people, suddenly that silence was broken when the angel, as we saw last week, came to Zechariah and spoke to him and said, "Zechariah, we know you're old and your wife is old and you're way past the age of childbearing, but you know what? In this old age, your wife's going to conceive, and there's a special child who's going to be born, who's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah that Israel has been waiting for." And 6 months later, the same angel Gabriel came to Mary, who was engaged to Joseph, and she was a young lady, girl actually. And he said, and the angel said to her, "Mary, God's favor is upon you. You are going to have a child, a special son. He'll be great." And that's really the Son of God that's going to be born. And how's this going to happen? The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will conceive. That's the incarnation, where God became flesh. Wow, amazing. And so this is the continuation of what happened after the angel Gabriel came to Elizabeth and came to Mary. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Okay, now, who is this Caesar Augustus? Just to tell you a little bit about him, He was one who ruled the Roman Empire for 45 years. Okay, his name was not Caesar or Augustus. Caesar and Augustus are titles. Okay, it's like you call somebody King Henry. Okay, king is not a name, it's a title. So Caesar was a title like Pharaoh and king. And Augustus was because he was such a good king and Caesar that this was a special title given to him. Augustus means reverend. All right, that's what it was. Okay, so his real name was Octavio. Okay, that's what his name. Gaius Octavius, that was his real name. And Augustus just means reverend, honored one. And he ruled the Roman Empire for 45 years. So straight away we see there Caesar Augustus. Now what's important about this is that our faith in Jesus, the miracle of the incarnation, is not rooted in mythology or in some children's bedtime story. It's rooted in history. Okay, that's the thing. Because you have many stories that go around, but Jesus' story can be nailed down to a time in history when Caesar Augustus was ruling and a place. Okay. Now, Caesar Augustus was a ruler. He ruled the Roman Empire for 45 years. That's a long time. And has anybody heard of Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome? Now, what he did was he conquered the known world at that time, right from the farthest place in Europe to the east. And he and the Romans ruled with an iron fist. They maintained law and order. They built roads. There was prosperity. There was trade. And the peace of Rome ensured that there was peace. The armies of Rome ensured there was peace in the empire. Okay, and this was during this time. Now, why is Luke telling us all this? That Caesar Augustus was ruling then. And he said this was the first registration, he says that Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be registered. This is the amazing bit. We see in this the great sovereignty of God. What's a sovereignty? In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, it says that, O you Bethlehem, from you is going to come one whose origins are of old. You see, Micah had prophesied that the Messiah, yeah, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient time. The prophetic word was that the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for would be born in Bethlehem. That was one, the place of his birth. The other prophetic word was that he would be of the lineage of David. Okay? Now we know that, we looked at it last time, Joseph was a descendant of David and so was Mary. But the only problem was they were not living in Bethlehem. They were living in Nazareth. Okay? How did God orchestrate events so that Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth who'd moved to Bethlehem? Simple. He moved the heart of the biggest ruler of that day and age to say, conduct a census. And the way they did the census in Israel was that each one had to go to his hometown. Okay, that's what they did. Because the Jews had their genealogy and they were very particular about which family line they came from and so forth. And so in the economy of God, the ruler said something. He had no clue about Jesus or about the Jews. He just passed a law, but it put into effect the things that God wanted so that Mary and Joseph moved from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The journey was a similar journey as Pune to Mumbai. It's about 150 kilometers. The only difference is they didn't have cars, they didn't have buses or trains. There was probably on a donkey that Mary sat and Joseph walked. Wow, that's a long journey. Pune to Mumbai on a donkey. You know? And that's how it was. So it was a long journey, and that's what happened. But for us, what is one point we can take back from this? It's this. We read the newspaper, and we hear all different things happening. You know, Donald Trump recognizing Israel, Prime Minister Modi saying Aadhaar is mandatory, and, you know, the North Korean leader threatening to shoot missiles, and Brexit happening, and we say, what's all this happening? You know, Saudi Arabia and the Gulf, this turmoil. Yeah, and these events are beyond our comprehension. But what we've got to rest assured is that behind all these events, we have a God who's above and beyond all these things. And no matter what is happening, His purposes are being fulfilled. All right? So we've got to have that confidence. All right? His purposes are being fulfilled. Okay? And that's a challenge for us. Are you willing to die for the gospel? Or maybe at least die in your name and in your reputation. Are we willing to go to our friends and our neighbors and say, listen, Jesus is the way. Yeah? So anyway, so this is what happened. So God, so and our confidence is that God is sovereign. The king's heart is in His hands. Okay? So that's what happened. And Joseph and Mary landed up at Bethlehem. And in verse 6 it says, and while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. So she was probably in her 9th month, ready to give birth. We don't know how long they were there. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. Okay? Now, just to bring some clarity there. Firstborn son. Okay? That word in Greek talks about firstborn. It doesn't talk about only son. Big difference. All right? So, why firstborn? Because in Jewish culture and tradition, the inheritance and the rights and the majority of it went to the firstborn. So Jesus was the firstborn of Mary and Joseph. And because the Messiah was going to come from that lineage, that's who it went to. Just to clarify, you know, it says there, firstborn. The Bible tells us Jesus had other half-brothers and sisters. Do you know that? Yes. Okay. We don't have time to get it. You look at Matthew 12, I think it talks about it. We can just briefly look at that. And because, you see, our dear friends, the Catholics believe otherwise. Okay. But just since we've come to it here, we might as well just nail that one as well. Matthew 12. Anyway, while he was speaking to them, I can't remember the reference. We'll get to it. But Jesus had other brothers and sisters as well. So we've got to be clear about that. Joseph and Mary had normal relations after Jesus was born. Okay, and there was Judas and James. And that's what the Pharisees said when they saw Jesus. Who's this guy? We know his family, his mother and his father and his brothers and his sisters. We know them. All right. So let's go on. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger. Anybody know what a manger is? I bet you don't have one at home. Okay, so the manger is a feeding trough where you put water and you feed animals. Okay, so it's, I don't think we have one at home. I don't know, maybe Donetti, but manger, you know. So can you imagine the king of the universe being born in such humble circumstances? Yeah. All of us who are parents, you know, where do we choose for our children to be born? Yeah, we choose a good hospital, a nice room, you know, make sure the clothes are clean and lovely and everything else. You know, we take such good care. And here it just shows that Mary and Joseph were poor. Okay? They had no other place, must have been cold. And so she wrapped him in swaddling cloths, just cloth. You know, we wrap our babies here in India as well. Wrap them up, and she got to put them somewhere. She didn't have a nice, what do you put babies in? Bassinet or whatever they call that. You know, baby cradle, all that. It was nothing like that. This was a good size, plopped them in there. And that was one thing. And secondly, it says there was no place for them in the inn. Now, you may think, inn, Holiday Inn. No, there was no Holiday Inn at that time. All right. There were no hotels, no Four Points by Sheraton or anything of that sort, you know. And so it was not like the innkeeper, the person didn't want them there. There was no place. It was just people were coming from all over to register. And so we just look in this, the humiliation of Jesus. Though He created the universe, He chose to be poor, chose to be born in humble surroundings. I want to ask us this morning, are we willing to sacrifice like Jesus did? Are we willing to go to places, you know, where you may not have a nice sofa to sit on or food to eat or something? Are we willing, for the sake of the gospel, to sacrifice? Yeah, and that's how it is. Today, we know we organize these camps for young people and others. And from the time I used to attend camps to the time they are held today, there's a huge, huge difference. You know, when we attended camps, oh, it was hard floors, open air common toilets. The food was, you know, the dal was like watery with something floating in it. And that was the kind of sitting. Mosquitoes were as big as, I don't know what, wasps. You know. And today, they want to have it in a 3-star hotel, AC rooms, buffet dinner. You know, I know that's not bad. But the point is, are we willing to give these things up for the sake of the gospel? Are we willing to go into the highways and the byways, to go into the slums, go to the poor, sit with them on the floor, eat with the food that they eat, you know, and just realize that that was what Jesus voluntarily took up? Are we willing to do that for the sake of the gospel? You know, and that's a thought for us. Anyway, so this is what happened. Now, once Jesus was born, and that at the same time, another miraculous appearance of an angel took place. And it says in verse 8, "And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, the shepherds were really looked down upon in society. They were the nobodies, okay? They weren't scribes, they weren't Pharisees, they weren't rulers or governors or tax collectors or something. They were nobodies out in the field. In fact, historians tell us in Jewish law that a shepherd's testimony was not taken in a court of law. They were like scoundrels and considered thieves and whatever. But God chose to announce the birth of his son not to the elite in society, but he chose to go to ordinary shepherds, outcasts. Verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." Can you imagine? On a dark night, suddenly this big angel comes before them, and they are frightened. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Wow, that is a fabulous statement. It's got so much truth in it. We could spend the next 3 weeks on that. But what is it telling us there? So the shepherds were the first ones to receive this great message from an angel. And the message is this: that long-awaited Messiah that the nation of Israel were waiting for. Remember, even now they were under Roman rule and they were waiting for somebody to deliver them and set them free. And they said, "Today in the city of David," which is the city of David? Bethlehem. That was David's birthplace. "In the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ." Christ means he's the Messiah, the anointed one, okay? The Lord. 6,000 times in the Bible, the word Lord is used. It's used to refer to God. That's what it is. So saying that this child that is born is no ordinary child. He is the answer to the long-awaited prayers of the Jewish nation for a Messiah to come. So he's the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Savior who will save them. And he is the Lord. He is also God. And this good news is not just for the Jews. It's for all people. So it tells us something about the extent of Jesus' influence. He just didn't came to save the Jews. He came to save all people. Okay, and he says, it's something of good news of great joy. Great joy. And that great joy is when somebody receives salvation. Wow. when you know that your sins are forgiven. That's what Jesus came for. So there's great joy. We can say Merry Christmas. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. Otherwise, it's not a Merry Christmas. You can have as many cakes and vindaloo and whatever else you want, but if your sins are not forgiven, it's not a Merry Christmas. All right. And then the angel said to them, and this will be a sign for you. There may have been other children born that night. How do I know? You know, imagine an angel came to you and says, in Kondwa, the Savior is born this night. Now you go around, there are many, but how do you know which is the right one? And he says, this is the sign, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. All right? I was trying to think, what is the equivalent of manger that we could use in today's modern day times? I don't know. But, you know, in a modern city setting. Anyway, but yeah, but in a city setting, there's no, you know, cow, in a modern city setting. Yeah, whatever. So anyway, so that's what it is. So this is, you wouldn't normally put a child there. And so the shepherds went, and verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. So the shepherds first saw an angel, and then a multitude. Wow! And what a choir that must have been. I know, we've got a great band, but this choir... Multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Woo! And saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God, with whom He is pleased. Wow! Just heavenly worship taking place that night. And it just shows how God, you know, doesn't look at how, well, your bank balance, your position, your anything. He chose the nobodies. Isn't that wonderful? That's why Paul says, not many of you were wise, not many rich, not many influential, but God chose the foolish things of the earth to shame the wise. We are among those nobodies that God has chosen to make known the birth of the Savior. Okay? That must have been such an amazing experience for the shepherds. And then, I just love this. Look at how, you know, I'm sure you guys have read this verse many times. Verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven. Have you ever had somebody visit you and then go to heaven? So this is what it says. And the angels finished singing, whole multitude, and then they went back to heaven. I said, this is a normal thing that's happening every day. You know, went into heaven. Wow. They had this visitation from the very presence of God. Wouldn't you love to have an angel visit you? Wow. And sing for you about Jesus, Christmas carols, and then say, okay, Colin, I've got to go back to heaven now. See you. You know, and that's what happened. We just passed by these things. Woo! And so the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. I mean, they couldn't quite figure out this thing that has happened. They had no previous experience to say, you know, this thing. So they said, let's go. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Wow. Now, can you imagine this bit? There's Mary and Joseph, all right? We know that the angel appeared to Mary. The angel appeared to Joseph. Do you know he appeared to Joseph? Because Joseph wanted to divorce Mary because he saw the baby bump. He said, listen, something's not right here. And, you know, that's it. But the angel said, listen, Joseph, Mary is conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Get married to her. That's what he did. And so they only had their personal experiences with angels. There was nothing or nobody else who told them anything. You know, and sometimes when you hear God, don't you think, am I imagining it? Is it really God or is it me? Is it true? Is it what? We have doubts, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. Now, can you imagine what happened when the shepherds came there? Okay, the shepherds came. It says there, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. That means the shepherds went to Mary and Joseph and they looked around and they must have heard, any babies born tonight? There's a one here and there's a lovely baby in a nice cradle. And all. No, not that one. You know, anyone? Oh, in the manger. And then, what do they tell Mary and Joseph? They told them this. Listen, angels brought us here to tell us about the birth of your son. You know, and they must have told them all these things. And imagine how Mary and Joseph felt. This was a confirmation of what they had heard 9 months ago. Yeah, they just heard one voice from the angel and that's it. And they may have been wondering, is it right? Is it wrong? But here, the angel said, the shepherd said, angels came to us and brought us here. It says in verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things in her heart. Yeah. And then it says, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. What can we get from this? We have heard the good news of the Savior. Okay? Like the shepherds, we got to make it known. There's no point keeping it in. We've got to go out and tell people. All right? Opportunity to invite people for next Sunday. But apart from next Sunday, as part of our lifestyle, we've got to say, Lord, help me to be intentional about it, to tell people about the Savior. We need to, verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. We need to be a people who worship Jesus wonderfully, all right? We are worshiping Him because He is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Worship. We need to fill our heart with worship and say, Lord, I want to just rejoice at your miraculous birth. Okay? And then we need to be people who hear the voice of God and obey. And that's what the shepherds did. They heard the angels. They were in awe. They went and found the Messiah. And then they worshipped. And then they proclaimed the gospel. Can we do that this Christmas? Yeah? Can we be a people, you know, and not just for Christmas? Okay, it's not a question of let's enter a season of evangelism. It's a lifestyle of evangelism. Okay, and say, Lord, the greatest news of all time, God becoming man. Wow. Lord, put your spirit in me that I would be able to tell people about Jesus. You know, are you willing to invite people next week and say, Lord, come. Come for the meeting. Come. Come to my house for lunch. Are you willing to go into the slums, to face hardships and even persecution for the sake of Jesus? But we do that fully confident that God is sovereign over everything. Okay? He watches over our lives, our coming and going. We've been praying for Stanley. God is sovereign. Even through that, He will be glorified. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing birth, the incarnation, when God became flesh. Lord, you indeed are the Messiah, the Lord, the Christ, the Savior of the world. Lord, we are privileged this morning that we have been accepted into your family. And Lord, you've now called us to go out and proclaim the good news of Christmas. Would you anoint us? Would you help us? May we be faithful in doing that. Lord, may your spirit come upon us, Lord, and give us boldness. Lord, may we do it sacrificially. May we do it without fear and full of boldness. And Lord, we pray, would you give us souls, Lord? Give us people who would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday at Ashirvad Hall with your friends. Amen.